Psalm 42:43, a maskil for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgot me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. To the chief musician, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Thus far, as we have been dealing with the issues surrounding Psalm 42:43, we have discussed the psalm's unity and the psalm title. Various clues to the union of Psalm 42:43 were noticed in the psalm itself and the two groups of Sons of Korah psalms in the Psalter. We have also understood that the Sons of Korah are the designated singers of these psalms, not the authors. Now we should consider the background of the psalm. Psalm 42:43 is the first psalm, besides Psalms 1 and 2, which do not tell us who the author is. There will be several other psalms which are anonymous, but considering how many psalms there are in the Psalter, these anonymous psalms are very few in number. I would suggest David to be the author of Psalm 42:43. I would further suggest him to be the author of all the psalms for the sons of Korah, and even the author of all the psalms which are written anonymously. I suggest this partly because this certainly is the best guess one could ever give. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, greatly excelled in composing psalms by the working of God's inspiration in him. Further, two psalms which do not identify an author in their titles are identified in the New Testament as being Davidic. These two psalms are Psalms 2 and 95. Because we link Psalm 1 and 2 together as a united introduction to the Psalter, we assume David to be the author of Psalm 1 as well, though it is not stated anywhere in the Bible. And Psalm 95 is an orphan psalm surrounded by orphan psalms. This leads to one big psalm from Psalm 92 to Psalm 97, having the simple title, A Song, a Psalm for the Sabbath Day. Though David is not stated in this title, based on Paul's attributing the words of Psalm 95 to David in the New Testament, we can say that the whole psalm is Davidic. So though there are several anonymous psalms, we cannot seem to go wrong by merely suggesting David to be the author. Concerning the sons of Korah Psalms, Psalm 86 is identified with David as the author, though none of the other Psalms have a designated author. But we can assume, until proven wrong, that David wrote all of these Psalms and designated them for the tabernacle singers of the Korahites, contemporary with himself. And finally, specifically in the case of Psalm 42-43, commentators who even assume that the sons of Korah wrote the psalm say that they wrote it as David would have written it. Though this is a strange theory, it demonstrates what many of the commentators notice. There are distinct marks of David's pen in the writing of this psalm. So I assume Davidic authorship for all the sons of Korah's psalms, though only Psalm 86 specifically states it to be the case in the title. Hengstenberg and others suggest that Psalm 42-43 was written in the situation of David's separation from Jerusalem when his son Absalom rebelled. The psalmist strongly expresses his desire to come before God, as he says in Psalm 42 verses 1 through 2, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In this context of appearing before God, he recalls in Psalm 42:4 the event of coming to God's house. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." Then in Psalm 43, the psalmist expresses the same understanding of coming to God's house in Jerusalem, specifically called his holy mountain, and coming before God's altar and appearing before God, when he says, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God." So the psalmist is separated from Jerusalem, from God's house, and from God himself who abode in his house. In Psalm 42, verse 6, we are told the present location of the psalmist when he says, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar." Now the location which the psalmist is mentioning is a matter of debate, but I follow the thinking of commentators which say that he is describing generally the Transjordanic region, which is the land on the opposite side of the Jordan from where Jerusalem is located. This was the land claimed by Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh before Israel crossed the Jordan with Joshua to claim the land of Canaan for the other tribes. So with this understanding of the psalmist being separated from Jerusalem, somewhere in the land on the other side of the Jordan River, we can see David in his separation from Jerusalem on the other side of the Jordan in a city called Mahanaim. Mahanaim is first mentioned in the Bible with Jacob. Jacob was returning to the land after his time of working for Laban. He was concerned about how his brother Esau would treat him when he saw him, because he had taken his birthright and blessing away from him. But Jacob saw two camps of God's armies, his angels. This vision of God's armies must have been God's comforting him, in essence saying, "These two camps of angels are here to guard and protect you." So he named the place Mahanaim, which means two camps. Mahanaim is next mentioned in the book of Joshua as a border city between the lands designated to Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. It is also identified as a city given to the Levites, though it was not one of the cities of refuge. But in the story of David, we find the significance of Mahanaim as it relates to Psalm 42-43. The two occasions of Mahanaim in the life of David are interesting as they reflect the flip-flopping of history. First, after the death of Saul, the tribe of Judah crowned David their king in Hebron. But Abner took Ishbosheth, Saul's son, to Mahanaim and made him king over the other 11 tribes. So there was a time of civil war, about 2 years, where the 11 tribes fought against Judah. But the situation is flip-flopped. later in David's life during Absalom's rebellion. Whereas David was anointed in Hebron before, now Absalom is an anointed king by the rebels in Hebron. Because of this rebellion, David flees from Jerusalem to Mahanaim on the other side of the Jordan, where Ishbosheth was previously made king over the 11 tribes of Israel. Certainly during this time, many may have seen history repeating itself, but this time to David's disadvantage. Now Absalom does not stay in Hebron. He comes to claim Jerusalem after it was deserted by David and his men. So it is in Mahanaim that David writes Psalm 42:43, longing to be in Jerusalem again, appearing before God in his house. But he is prevented by his son, who sits on the throne in Jerusalem. Now beyond the location, certain parts of Psalm 42:43 may be reminiscent of David's flight from Absalom. Hengstenberg makes note of the priest's attempt to take the Ark of God with David when he fled. But David held them back, saying in 2 Samuel 15:25-26, "Carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again, and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." So we see in the psalm the desire of the psalmist for God to show favor to him and lead him back to God's house to appear before him. Then also we have the situation of Shimei the Benjamite. As David and the people with him were fleeing past his hometown of Beshurim, Shimei, who was a relative of Saul, came out and started throwing stones at David and the people. He also cursed David, saying in 2 Samuel 16:7-8, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." So in Psalm 42:43, we read how the psalmist dealt with the taunts of the enemies, in Psalm 42:9-10, saying, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgot me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God?" Then in Psalm 43:1-2, we also see David looking to God to vindicate him from the false accusations of his enemies, just as Shimei accused David of stealing the throne from Saul. The psalmist says in those verses, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" So there are various aspects to Psalm 42:43 which direct us to think of David in his flight from Absalom. He suffered the taunts of the enemies. He sought God's mercy in the city of Mahanaim. He wanted to return to Jerusalem and to God's presence in the Ark. But to reflect upon this is also to see the despair of David's heart in Psalm 42:43. Absalom's rebellion was a direct fulfillment of Nathan's prophecy of trouble coming to David's house because of his own sin with Bathsheba. As David realized his own son's rebellion, he could not have missed the fact that this was part of his chastening by God because of his own sin. What a weight guilt brings upon the righteous! What hope can a Christian have when he realizes his own sin has brought him to such depths of despair? As we will see in the first part of Psalm 42, it is not the enemies which are troubling him. It is the question of his own soul. Where is your God? An appropriate question for David, as we have seen him fleeing from Absalom. Concerning the ark, he said, "If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again, and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." Concerning Shimei's cursing, he also said, "So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." David, one can say, is not so confident of what God will do. He has sinned and deserves what he is getting. Maybe God will show mercy. Maybe he won't. But David was willing to take whatever God wanted. David's troubled soul in this situation is seen in Psalm 42:43 when he says to himself in 42 verse 5, "Where is your God?" Nevertheless, by faith, he encourages his soul to take heart and hope in God. Then in the second part of the psalm, his soul is still troubled. He asks God why God has forgotten him and allowed the enemies to trouble him. But he speaks the words of encouragement again to his soul to trust in God, for he will yet have opportunity and reason to praise him. Then in the final portion of the psalm, encompassing Psalm 43, David has risen by faith to a firmer foothold, and he asks with confidence for God's vindication against the false accusations of the enemies. He further asks for God to lead him back to worship him in Jerusalem, after, of course, the victory has been won. The psalm finally ends with the same words of encouragement. But this final time, there is no strong persuasion needed to convince the soul to trust and hope in God. His soul is already focused in that way. Now the words to hope in the Lord are merely words of peaceful confidence. Victory is already assured. Now his soul is simply directed to wait and see it happen. It was David, the great sinner, the man whom God was chastening, the man of faith and hope, the man willing to take anything God gave to him, yet by persistent encouragement to his soul, recognizing the mercies of God and waiting with expectation of the victory. And of course, David's hope in God was not in vain. Absalom was defeated. David returned from Mahanaim to his capital city of Jerusalem. And certainly one of the first things he did was enter into God's house, humbly and with great joy. He told his soul that he would yet praise him. And so he did. What do we tell our souls in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our sin and God's chastening us, in the midst of enemies, in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, in the midst of not knowing whether God is for you or against you? Let us repeat to our souls over and over again the words David spoke to his own soul, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God."